G'day, 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 g'day. Welcome to episode 8 of The Elaborators. I can't believe we've made it all of this way to episode 8. Actually, while I'm thinking this is episode 8, I'm thinking of you who have been watching and listening. Lots of people watching on the YouTubes. Hello to all the YouTube watchers and listening on the audio stuff, wherever you get your audio podcasts from. What I'd like to know from you is, what are you enjoying? What are you liking? Did you like the bit we did about the things, or did you not like the bit we did about the things? Leave a comment on, if you're on YouTube watching this right now, just say g'day to us. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening on some other device, why don't you take a minute to message WBC through any of the socials, really. We're on all of the things, the Facebooks and the, what's the other ones? The Instas, we're on the Instas. I don't think we're on, I think that's it. That'll do. Something like that. Producer Simon, I'm just looking at him right now, and he's like, just get on with it, Jazz. No worries. My name's Justin. I'm part of the team here at WBC, and we have been going through a series through October and November called Finding Peace. And we covered all sorts of things, from talking about anxiety and burnout to what it is to actually find happiness and joy. So go and check those out. But this is December. As we're speaking to you right now, it's December, and we have just completed our Wonder Weekend, which was full of awe and wonder. And so it seems only appropriate that I get producer Simon out of his little offsider chair there and into the particular one that we have right here. And I'm going to give him the...
You're coming?
There you go.
There we go. I'm here.
There we go. Nice. Have you slept in the last 3 days?
You know I have.
Yeah, congratulations.
I have slept. And I don't know if everyone uses the phrase, I've slept like a log.
Mm-hmm.
I was a dead log.
People were kicking you and throwing you down the river and you didn't even notice.
Correct.
Nice. Well, it's
that
been...
That was post-Wonder Sleeps. Pre-Wonder Sleeps.
Pre-Wonder Sleeps didn't
I was
happen.
A beehive in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not let me sleep at all.
Yeah, I go with... During production week, I generally go with power naps.
Oh, yep.
The power nap gets me through because you generally don't get time, especially when you've, like you and I both have young kids and we're still getting them off to school in the morning and mm-hmm. still getting home late at night and all the rest of the things that happen. But for those who don't have context, give us a context for what Wonder Weekend at WBC actually was, slash is, slash might be.
Sure. So Wonder is WBC's Christmas production kickoff weekend extravaganza, I guess. Mm. We've only done it 3 times, would you believe it? But
yeah.
Over 5 years, we did internal video only versions during COVID, if you
yeah.
remember. Made a plethora of videos, all Christmas related. But it is 150 plus of our WBC crew putting their hands up to serve. And we welcomed 1,000 people plus through the doors.
Yeah.
3 shows.
On a Sunday.
Lots of songs and fun and frivolity.
And we basically, what we tried to do was get people to bring their gift. So we actually, if you aren't local and you haven't seen our building, I think there's photos of our building online, but we wrap our building as a Christmas present, which
yes.
always looks really lovely, thanks to our friend Jared, who does that for us as a gift,
yeah.
Which is pretty exciting. Yeah. And as people come in, when they're physically in the location, there's music playing in the foyer. We have the grand piano set up. We have mm-hmm. some artworks in the middle of the welcome space. The cafe was running. Big shout out to Matt and Susan Cheel, who ran that, and yeah. Matt and Susan and Charlene, I should say, who ran that and cooked like a lot of food.
A lot of food.
So much food, in fact, that we've been able to also bless our youth group with some of it.
Nice. And yours and my lunches this week,
and
I believe,
been
as well.
Some extra lunches going on this week.
Vanilla,
to get us through.
Strawberry slice for lunch sometimes. Won't
yeah.
go wrong.
I thought as far as a round meal goes, like is it a round meal? No, it's 3 square meals. You have a square meal.
Yep.
You have a...
They're round plates, though.
Round plates and a square meal.
Yeah.
So I'm lost. Anyway, somebody
and
tell
a
me...
food pyramid. Just to throw that in there too. So we need to
You
use
had a
it.
Square meal on a round plate based on the food pyramid.
That's correct.
I feel like our shape analogies need help.
They do.
So, okay.
And everyone's trying to fit the wrong shape in the wrong hole. It's like, I've got a food pyramid and how come it won't fit on my plate?
And the only point of this was just to say that having jelly slice for lunch is not a good choice. That's it. That's the whole reason we had that conversation. So
I had a great lunch on Monday, my post-Wonder lunch that I had the energy to create was Doritos in a bowl with red cordial.
That was... I'm sorry, run that by me again. You had what for breakfast? Lunch.
Yeah, lunch. Doritos.
Doritos.
In a bowl.
In a, right,
so a little bit of cheese.
It wasn't a square meal. It was a round meal.
It was a spherical bowl. With red cordial.
Hang on, where was the red cordial? The red cordial was...
In a glass.
I don't don't know. You just had this idea.
Champions.
I was like, are you that much of a first year university student that you just threw the liquid in with the solid, mixed it all up?
I'm making ramen noodles out of Doritos and cordial.
You know what this needs, love? Give me some soya sauce. Give me that. Where's the soya?
I don't know.
First year uni food. Actually, if you've ever been to first year uni, just give us your recipes for how to survive first year uni. Because I had my wife swears to me that she's all basically all she ate was refried beans. You know, the tin of refried beans.
Yeah.
And she just mixed cheese through it.
Oh.
And that was her meal. Like a lot of days.
Mine was mostly pizza during uni, I think.
You were one of the rich kids. Mm. Oh, luxury. Luxury. I didn't have that. I had a friend that had, what was it? We're off topic.
Rather.
I did uni I worked around the Box Hill area where there's lots of little Asian supermarkets. And so people would go searching for the most unique ramen noodles.
Right.
And I got a mate that would buy this one consistently that you open the noodles, the ramen noodles were there, but there were like five different packets of things to put in the ramen noodles.
That's exciting.
I know. So it wasn't just like some of that salt mix that you add the water and it makes chicken noodles.
Yeah.
It was like, do you want the chili oil, and do you want this thing, and do you want some? And then he even had the sprinkly onions. You know, the crunchy sprinkly onions.
If you went to the time and put each of those things in a little bowl beforehand,
yeah,
you'd feel like Jamie Oliver.
Jamie, there you go.
Making your ramen Done. Noodles.
Done. Maybe what we've just discovered is degustation menus in first year uni are just ramen noodles with five different choices. Anyway, there's enough snare drums for now. Now, yep. Listen.
Sorry.
So thank you for give us your first year uni recipes, because I think that's important. That's a life skill for all of those kids that are doing year 11 and 12 or have just finished year 11 and 12. They've got to get ready. They've got to get ready to survive in the harsh world out there.
I should note my pizza was like McCain's Pizza Singles.
Oh, okay.
Not pizza,
okay.
Pizza.
So it wasn't like you were ringing up Domino's and they were bringing a family large for $20.
It was like the $4 box that I stuck in the microwave.
And added cheese too.
Yeah. I'm just about to put that out there.
I've just got an image of you with a mini single pizza, a bowl of Doritos and red cordial.
It's not far off now, to be honest. Life, I take it now.
Life has moved so far and we've both matured so much.
Yep.
So over the weekend, we were able to put on three shows, the purpose of which is really just to tell the Christmas story,
yes.
Let people know Jesus loves them, and that there's a reason behind Christmas. And so we're able to do that through song, through testimony, and through story. One of my favourite moments, and we might post this in the link if we get the video ready in time, was Brother Inike as Islander Santa Claus. Reading a storybook.
Yes.
That's got to be one of the highlights.
It was a great capture. His voice is so good. And if we leave a little gap here, I will leave his laugh in the edit.
Okay.
So here's a wonderful hearty laugh to get everyone Christmassy.
And having heard that, I'm thinking, is that a joyful laugh or an evil laugh?
Well, I'd like to think that if you're just listening to it, you could probably spin it both directions. We could put him in a chair that he wrote, like you could swivel on a chair with a cat.
Yeah.
And laugh like that. And
yeah.
Get one approach.
Right.
Or it could be as he was in the video wearing a Hawaiian Christmas shirt.
Okay. So either Dr. Evil Inike or Mr. Rogers Inike.
Yes.
One of the two. Oh, I have a button. We could do
this to our voices. Did you know we could do this? I did not.
Let's stop doing that. That's upsetting the children. Yes.
This is yet another off-topic, offside. But
I'm used to it by now.
Yesterday, Justin called me.
Justin
that
Clark?
Was the
me?
No, you.
Me?
Remember
I
when
called
you rang and I said, you are literally a monster on the phone now?
And that's what I sounded like?
It's exactly what you sounded like.
So I rang up, you picked up the phone and I said,
hey, Sim, how you going?
Correct.
Wow.
And then you laughed.
And then I went, I tell you what, it's been a strange weekend, and the ramen noodles and lack of sleep have contributed to the making of this podcast. We're elaborating on the joy of making and the joy of making creative things. You're a graphic designer, a video editor. You've got a lot of creative stuff in you. What is it that you enjoy about these kind of processes when it comes to church life? You know, there's not many people that have your skill set, and it can be a little overwhelming at times when you're the last line of, you know, if it doesn't get done, it's your fault. How did it feel going into these weekends?
I do thrive in the busy. And I know, we call me Producer Simon because sometimes I help produce technical things like this, but I also really enjoy producing.
Right.
Reality things.
Let's just go down to brass tacks here. Let's just say that producers are people that like telling other people what to do.
Oof.
That's control freak.
I'm actually really bad at confrontation.
And I know. That's why you hide behind the headphones.
I like to motivate. How about that?
There is a difference between directing from the back of the room and the front of the room, for sure. And there's probably a personality style. But did you feel like you achieved, we achieved?
Oh, definitely. Weekend? And I think this particular year was very hard to farm off roles or jobs or tasks. So we did end up producing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really enjoyable to get people involved in what we still managed to get a lot of people involved and then practice their skills and bring what they could to those individual things, like whether it was filming the choir and we got the choir in and we filmed them in the weeks prior, or we got Ben, a great animator, who animated the storybook that NK read. And so there's so much that we got to use people's skills to produce. And then on the day itself, they just take it and run with it and it becomes a big organic thing.
And I think if I could encourage people listening who aren't part of this community here, the idea of gathering people around a creative project is a beautiful way of highlighting not only their skill and their gift and saying thank you, but also a way of kind of, it stretches us and helps us grow because we're all inspiring one another. The arts is always better with someone coming alongside, in my estimation, mm-hmm. and that's where producers come into it. So from us to all of the people that were able to participate, attend, make,
producer
create,
Simon, produce. Sorry, producer Simon's
producer
phone
Simon forgot to put his phone on silent.
Whoops.
And yes, I don't have a sound effect.
You can
wah
wah that one.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, there we go. But to all of the people that made and created with us, thank you. And for anyone that wants to contribute into the future, let us know what your skills are and we will attempt to use them.
Yeah.
Now, in the lead up to Wonder, by the way, we will post some clips from the Wonder show over coming weeks. So for everyone listening and watching, there'll be some highlights coming up on your YouTubes and your socials and you'll be able to share those around and see some of the highlights. But just prior to Wonder, we just weren't busy enough. So we managed to get a team together to go over and help some of our global workers in South Asia. And so Pastor Stan and Deanna, Beth and Brendan Klinko, Jess.
Oh, yes. Jess, what did I say? Jess and Nat.
Did I say that right?
Yep.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. Jess and Nat. All were gone for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks actually, a couple of them, and it did mean that our church community was sort of spread far and wide. But we were so taken with what they were able to do that we sat them down recently and just asked them a few questions. So we just for the next 15 minutes or so of the elaborators, we're going to get them to elaborate on what they achieved. So I'm going to hand over to Pastor Deanna, who will take us through for the next 15 minutes.
Pastor Deanna here. You know, one of the important things about taking these trips is getting exposure to what goes on overseas. And you guys got to see a little bit of that, didn't you? So what was a highlight? Who wants to share a highlight from that time?
I can share a highlight. As you said, we got to lead worship at the SLC conference. And I mean, I get to lead worship a lot here at WBC, which is really awesome. But I think there's something so different and unique and special about being able to worship internationally, but also to worship in a completely different language. Yeah.
So we went to go to this Bible conference, and Nat, you preceded us by a few weeks, and you did some trekking, and then you guys arrived, and then we arrived, Stan and I arrived, and then Jess, this is your first trip to travel all by yourself to do something like this. How was that?
Yes, very nerve-wracking, I'll be honest. Like, the lead-up to it and the anticipation of all the what-ifs that could happen while I'm traveling by myself and while I'm in the airports waiting for transit, all those what-ifs just took me by surprise or, like, kept overwhelming me. And then God's faithfulness and his provision and his care over me throughout that time was just, it was phenomenal. So
from there, of getting Jess from the airport, we went the very next day on a six-hour bus trip?
Well, they told us it was going to be long, and it was long, maybe double what we thought. So maybe what, about 8 hours or so? Very bumpy.
Bumpy.
Smacking around there, half the bus feeling a bit sick, half the bus feeling fine. So
half of the bus leaning over the edge of the mountain.
It was a bit treacherous.
It was a great experience, yeah.
Yeah. So we get to the conference, and this is out in the country. So the city that most of the workers came from that were on the bus, it's quite a dusty city. It's a big city. It's very noisy. And I remember Lisa saying that she was looking forward to seeing green space and clean water. That's what I remember her saying. But we got there, and you guys, Brendan and Beth, what was your role?
Well, as Beth was saying, we We helped out with the kids, but one of the main roles that we did was we got to lead worship, and so we got to do that with people in that country. We got to sing it in different languages. Yeah. We got to collaborate in that way, and it was such a blessing to see God working in that. So their passion is to want to bring youth worship like rock worship or like good music worship. And we were actually able to come out of that conference and bless them with a sound desk that we were able to leave them, which would be absolutely unattainable by what they earn and the money and their jobs and their source of income. And so we're actually able to bless that with them and some other little bits of equipment that would have been so far out of their reach. And that was such a blessing that we're able to do that as a church community. And just the looks on the faces of Lisa's friends were something that I'll never forget.
Jess and Nat, you guys had worked on a kids program to work with the team members' kids. And where were all these kids from?
Oh, we had a variety of different places these kids were from. So we had some kids from America, from South Korea, from
Mexico.
China. Mexico too. I think, Deanna, you gave us some material before going over talking about third culture kids. And that was really important coming into it because it gave us some context for what these kids were coming into and have come from and experiencing in their own lives as well.
So as the conference wound down, we went to someone's home. So we got to see a local home that a family with six kids lived in, one of the team workers there, and also the medical center. And Nat, you had shared that you would like to do more in public health, perhaps down the road. You want to share a little bit about that?
I think I've always had a bit of a passion for global health and working overseas in that healthcare space as well. And it just kind of reignited that passion. And I had forgotten about that working over COVID and being so focused in Australia. But the real need over there was really highlighted. And it reignited my passion for working overseas in healthcare.
I think that's one of the things that we learn is that God uses all kinds of different skills and passions and callings when he calls people overseas to work. So Beth, as a teacher or a teacher studying to be a teacher, we visited a few schools as well. You particularly visited an international school and then a slum school. And what were the impressions that you had coming away from that?
I think for me, I imagined myself as a teacher in Australia. That was kind of my perspective of I'd graduate, I'd just teach in Australian schools until I retired. But I think going over there and actually visiting the schools made me realise that maybe I am going to teach overseas one day at an international school, and I don't know necessarily where God will use me. Just getting to hear their stories and what led to them going from teaching in their home countries or their sending countries and then teaching in international schools and what that was like for them. I think that really inspired me, and it's made me really think about what that could look like for me as well. So,
thinking about, Jess, with your experience, now you were the first one to go back home after the conference finished. You left pretty quickly after that because you had some things back here. Yeah. How was that journey back through? Where did you connect through Dubai? Is that right?
Yeah, so I flew out and then I had a 7-hour layover in Dubai. And just even in that situation, even throughout that transit, the people that I met and the stories that they told were just such evidence of God's faithfulness. It was God fulfilling prayers and God reminding me that wherever I go, he will put people in my path to like ground me and to keep me connected and to make me feel God's love.
You know, it highlights for us just how important it is to be praying for our overseas workers.
Absolutely.
Because it does make a difference. God does answer those prayers, and they're needed, and it's really encouraging as we do pray for those workers. And that's one of the reasons we do trips like this, is so that you can see them in their context. When we send workers out, Stan is a sending pastor. You had some significant conversations, and I know you can't divulge some of the content of those, obviously, but as a lead pastor of a sending church, what do you hope to gain out of going to a field and seeing your workers?
Well, I hope to, first of all, be able to encourage them. And I believe we tick that box. We encourage them as well as many, many others that were there. And that was probably my highlight, is just recognizing the tremendous need for them, that just our presence and encouragement, just to be able to listen and to talk through things with them.
Seeing because we just recently sent Peter and Guinea, that was our Think Beyond, and seeing them as they are in the early adjustment phase was really insightful to be able to encourage them at that time and hear how they're going. And really, they're doing phenomenal. They really are doing better than they think they're doing even. We really enjoyed having each of you with us and the gifts that you contributed, and you dug deep into your own pockets and had people praying for you to make this happen. And I just want to say on behalf of the church, in behalf of the organization and our workers, thank you, and praying that God blesses you for your sacrifice. And if you had to challenge somebody else whether they should go on a trip like this or not, what would you say?
I think the first thing I would say is that it matters, and the encouragement that even you going, you don't have to expect it to change the world, but the encouragement of you going out there, if you're able to go and support people, it makes a huge difference to them. Just physically you being there, but emotionally, and the support that it does, that you cannot create that without going there. So
I would say if God opens a door, he will bless you and he will give you the strength to go through it.
Well said, Jess. So there you have it from the team. Thank you, church, for thinking of us and praying for us while we were away. Keep tabs. And I guess I would encourage you that our workers overseas really appreciated the encouragement of a visit. So if you ever get a chance to go on a visit, whether it be as a team or as an individual, even so, you can have a Zoom call with them, or you can send them a little email, something to let them know you're thinking of them and praying for them. Thank you for sending us.
Ah, there you go. Round of applause. Yeah. Amazing work.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Get the passion in.
Ooh, we need more applause. I need a longer applause sample.
I can get you some. I can get you some canned laughter too.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic, because some of my jokes need canned laughter. Thanks to our whole crew who were part of the team that went to South Asia to help our global workers that have been sent out from the WBC community. Great to hear that Beth was able to sing in another... Actually, I should say, Beth has sung in other languages before because she's a trained opera singer.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard Beth sing opera, but it is quite a thing. But, you know, singing in Latin, singing in Italian, singing in German, learning opera is quite normal. And now she can speak some Asian languages as well.
There you go.
That's exciting. And I do, for all of those, if you get to watch the video of that interview, you would have seen the sights of that bus trip. But I don't know about you, but I felt a little nauseated.
Ooh, it's hard enough going down the Great Ocean Road when the road is like at least tarmac.
I was a little nauseated just watching that.
Yeah.
So to spend 6 to 8 hours doing that, huzzah for you guys. But thank you to our whole team that were able to be part of that and really encourage and as far as we, you know, the words we've heard back from our global workers is that they were just so fantastically encouraged to have that whole crew there. And Brendan to be able, and the crew to be able to leave some PA gear and just bless the crew there. So, yeah. Oh, there you go. You another round of applause. Anyway, look, I think that's probably enough for episode 8. What do you think?
I'd say we need to quit while we're ahead.
Quit while we're ahead. We were never ahead. We were behind the whole time, but it doesn't matter. So thanks to producer Simon for being part of today. That was episode 8. Episode 9 will probably happen next week, and we'll continue to talk about the wonder of Christmas and our precious king and how precious his people are. So thanks for being part of the Elaborators this week, and we will catch you same time next week.
Let's do it.
Bye. This is the bit where you dance.
Bow, bow. Baka, 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 dancing bow. In your car.
Everybody dance. Look at the person next to you and honk in time with the music. Maybe don't. Road rage is not what we want on the Elaborators.